If you have your Bibles, turn in them to the book of Job. The book of Job in chapter 28. Job chapter 28, we will be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 28, as we continue through this book in our serial readings. Job has been speaking for a couple chapters now, and continues here in chapter 28. So Job chapter 28, verse 1, these are God's words, so let's give our attention to them. "Surely there is a vein for the silver, and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot, they are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The deep saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Those are God's words. And again, Job continues speaking here. His friends, it seems like, are allowing him to speak a little longer than normal instead of butting in and responding to him quickly. And yet, here, Job seems to become more philosophical in his speech, all concerning God's providence of why, and considering why some wicked men live and die in prosperity, while others are open to judgments and what we might call the dark providences. Why is it that some are punished in this world and others are not? Zophar, remember a friend of Job, he had said before, many chapters ago, that he desired the Lord to show Job the secrets of His, God's wisdom. And yet, Job is here saying, no, Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong not to us, but things revealed do. They do belong to us. And so we have the scriptures that are revealed to us, but the secret things belong to the Lord. And so that in the passage through verse 11 concerning worldly wealth and property, how many urgently seek after it, even through great pains and at great risk. And then from verses 12 to the end of the chapter concerning wisdom, that the price of attaining wisdom is very great, of a great value. But in this case, why is there judgment or dark providences for some and not others? Why is there wisdom for some and not others? Why, and this really goes to, why are some elect of God and some not? That which is secret belongs to the Lord and the eternal decrees of Jehovah. Verse 14, not even the depths of the seas, no. You look at verses 23 to 27, that there is wisdom hidden in the Lord. He knows, and that is sufficient for us, beloved. It must be sufficient for us because He knows. Think of the comfort that should bring you. He knows why judgments come. He knows why dark providences come. That should be sufficient. And praise the Lord, verse 28, there is wisdom that He grants to us. He reveals it to us. Verse 28, it says again, and unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. In the dark providences of life, Christians, trust the Lord and His plan. They are His providences. And He knows. And friends, you who do not believe in Jesus for your salvation, wisdom is found in Jesus alone. For knowledge, for understanding, for wisdom, come to Jesus. And Christians, you come to Jesus for these things as well. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You. We are thankful again for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He was sent by You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was sent to this earth, incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we are thankful that He came not as just a divine being, but as the God-man, taking on human flesh, being able to rationalize and think from His mind and heart and His human nature, just as we think today and feel. And so He, the same. We're thankful that He lived a perfect, righteous life according to Your law and keeping all Your commandments, dying on the cross, that cursed death, on that cursed tree. But not for His sins, for He was perfect, but for our sins. All of our heinous and wicked sins that we have committed against You and continue to commit against You. He died for these and all of them. And so died, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. That death could not hold Him. Satan could not defeat Him. And we're thankful for the victory then that we have in Christ, in which we are more than victorious, more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Father, we pray for the children here this morning. We pray for any others who don't know You as well, who are amongst us this morning. We ask that You would send Your Spirit to change their hearts, even any who might be in the womb. And we give You praise, knowing of the great promise that You communicate to us, even through Your servant John the Baptist, who leaped in the womb at the presence of Jesus. And so we know even those in the womb can turn unto You, if it be Your will, and if You turn them to You in Christ. And so we pray even for them, that You would turn them this day to Christ Your Son, who is our only hope and our only comfort and our righteousness. We would not boast in ourselves, but boast in the cross of Christ. Boast in the Lord alone. And we boast in Him today. Thankful for not only the hope that we now have in Christ alone, but what great communion we have with Him. And look forward to this coming next Lord's Day as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and seek this week to prepare for that in examining our hearts and our lives, to turn from our sins and our worldliness and our fleshly lust, where we have brought reproach upon You, Lord. Turn us back today and this week, that You would grow us in that communion and fellowship, not only with the Holy Spirit, but with Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Bridegroom. Our Father, we do praise You for wisdom. We're thankful that You grant wisdom to us, and we know that wisdom only comes from You because You're the God of wisdom. You're a God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in Your wisdom. And so we're thankful that You grant some of that wisdom to us, that You reveal to us in the Scripture, just a finite amount, and yet a perfect amount for us at this time. We give You praise for this, knowing in the future that we will continue to grow in knowledge forever and ever when we enter into glory and are in Your perfect presence. We give You praise this past week and even now for the life of Dave's mom, Libby. We're thankful that she was a great witness to You and even encouragement to her son. And when she was here to us, Father, we're thankful for her love for You, and we're thankful that You have now perfected her and granted her perfect holiness in Christ. Praise You for her and for taking her and not subjecting her to such greater suffering that could have been. Our Father, we do praise You for Phil, who's here with us again. We're thankful that he was able to work yesterday for the first time in a few months after being hit by a car. We're thankful that You preserved him, though in the vast majority of circumstances when that happens, being hit by a car, most die. And yet You preserved his life, and we continue to give You praise and thanks for preserving him, not only for his family, but for Your family, the Church of Jesus Christ, and for the sake of the world, that You might use him to spread the good news, as we pray for each one of us who are Your children. Our Father, we do ask that You would watch over our congregation, that You would keep us from error, keep us from heresy, false teaching, keep us from wolves, keep us from even the devil, and that You would continue to spur us on to truth and holiness, sanctification, that we would be pure as Christ is pure. And so, convict us of our sin today and turn us back to Christ. Grant us that righteousness by Your Spirit and by the grace of Your Spirit to love You, to live for You as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto You. And Father, we pray that You would provide this congregation with the new generation of elders, a new generation of deacons. And You continue not only to protect us, but provide for us. Provide every good thing for us, Father, if that be Your will. And that You would not snuff out our lampstand, but grow us. We do pray that You would use us and grow us to such an extent that we would, by the authority of the presbytery you've put us under, that we'd be able to plant a church, another church, and that more sinners would continue to hear the gospel, and more of this nation would come and bow the knee to Christ, and you would cause this nation to covenant with you, that they would submit unto you, and they would love you, and you would, for the few righteous who remain, we ask that you would grant deliverance from the many judgments you have been sending, though minor compared to the great judgment to come. Spare us from these things. Even spare this nation from great and utter ruin by turning us to be faithful to you, that the church would be faithful to proclaim the good news to the world, that many would hear, believe, and this nation would be saved and bow the knee to Christ, knowing of the great promise that we have, that all nations, even that part of the psalm we heard in the psalm called to worship in Psalm 47, reminds us that all nations will bow to Christ. And so we look forward to that day, whether in our lifetimes or after our lifetimes. We look forward to that promise being fulfilled by you. And we have hope that you will, and faith. Our Father, we ask any who are sick today, we pray for the Helms and any others who might not be feeling well, that you would grant them good health and build up our immunities as winter is coming. We ask that you would be with those who are often frail and strengthen them for your glory, to be used by you as weak instruments for the spread of the kingdom. And Father, as we pray for the destruction of Satan's kingdom, we pray for the kingdom to come. And so bring your kingdom, Father, and all its majesty and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.